We're back. It's the top of the hour. This is Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. I am Jim Santel. We're spending this morning talking about two very important Supreme Court cases coming out of Washington, D.C. in that high court just this past week. Most of our first hour talking about Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, the majority opinion, the concurrences, the dissents, all sending us some sense about what our Supreme Court in very different directions has told us today about privacy rights and about the right to abortion. The upshot of the opinion yesterday from the United States Supreme Court is that the Constitution, the United States Constitution, does not, in fact, confer a right to abortion. Roe versus Wade, Casey, 1992 case had followed it. Both of those explicitly, undeniably overruled. The authority to regulate abortion now returned to the people and their elected representatives. And that's the additional comment I would make before we go to more callers this morning, which we appreciate tremendously. The invocation, the application, the invitation, if you will, to legislative response is going to go in a number of different directions. As we said before the break, many states out there have laws that are effective as of this morning that prohibit abortion in America. That is a stunning reversal of where we were even 25, 26 hours ago. Other states plainly implementing changes that will move in that direction. And significantly, there are other states out there, unknown in terms of specific numbers, but probably an equal number of those who are going down this more strident road, other states firming up their rights to abortion, firming up the rights of women under their own constitutions, their own state statutes to observe and to have access to reproductive rights. And so that's happening at state legislatures around the country. That's where advocacy is all important. That's the kind of thing, candidly, that at the invitation of Justice Alito, all Americans should be taking up. The other one that's out there, of course, is that this can, in fact, this decision yesterday can, in fact, and almost is underway as a legislative response. The United States House of Representatives has already codified, if you will, in some legislation, can reintroduce that legislation in future Congresses that would codify Roe versus Wade in the federal statutes. The federal statutes. Now, that would still have to pass muster, and plainly there'd be more argument among the lawyers about that. But that is a legislative response. It could also take place at the federal level. Lots of argument, lots of discussion about that option, too. Of course, the immediate concern is what happens in the Senate, and that is why the all-important vote coming up in November, the midterm elections, that are going to decide who holds control of the House and of the Senate. That also tremendously important on this issue and many others. Just as Roe versus Wade can be codified legislatively by the United States Congress, so too can other legislation, perhaps, for example, banning all abortions statewide in all states throughout the United States of America. That too could be implemented by a federal legislature, our House, our Senate. And that is why my final observation about this before we move to at least one caller is voting. Where do you get Supreme Court justices? You get them from presidents with the advice and consent of the Senate. And where do you get presidents? You get presidents by voting through the Electoral College, as we have seen most dramatically in recent days, weeks, and years. You get presidents, you get Supreme Court justices, you get elected officials who can make decisions about legislative responses to judicial orders. You get them through voting. So voting, registration here in Wisconsin, every other state in the union, every town, every village, every city, vote. All those who are eligible to do so should do so as a way of responding however you feel about yesterday's opinion, the other one we'll discuss in just a moment having to do with guns. Voting is the all-important avenue to address those issues and to get your voice heard to the extent you feel the United States Supreme Court and perhaps even your state or federal legislature is not listening to you. Putting those people in power who do have your voice, do have your best interests in mind, the safety and security of everyone, including health care for all women in our nation, that too accomplished through voting. Joe, we're on the line. You've been waiting for a while. Would love to hear your comments, your questions this morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Jim, and as always, I really appreciate the discussion. So I had two questions I wanted to ask, and if they have already been covered in the hour, I apologize because I came in late into your hour. So it's two questions that I would have about what is emerged from this discussion. First is, you had mentioned, and other people have mentioned, possible restrictions on interstate restrictions on travel for women that might emerge out of this decision. Oklahoma, other places that are they're taking a very strict view on this. Can you describe that, and then how that might play out, and how that might clash with, I'm stupid about this, but interstate commerce. How can women be prevented from traveling from one state to another to get an abortion in light of interstate commerce? And the second question that I would have is, many people have looked at the issue of abortion not as, you know, religious or health, but instead from the issue of bodily autonomy, meaning that no one has the right to use another person's body without that person's consent. So looking at, for example, you might need a kidney from your dad, and your dad may be the only person that can give you a kidney, and you may die if you don't get this kidney, but no one, you can't force your dad to give you even one kidney if dad doesn't want to do it. Or the idea that we can't harvest organs from a person who has died, and those organs may be used to save lives, such as donating lungs or hearts, kidneys, but we can't force that if that person has not given consent previously. So can you respond to those two questions, the one of interstate restriction of women and the question of bodily autonomy? No one has the right to use another person's body, and how that may play out in further discussions of abortion as we go forward. Thanks a lot, Jim. I appreciate it. I'll listen for your response.
Thank you so much, Joe. And let me say at the outset, those are far from stupid questions, far from stupid observations. I would offer just the opposite, right on target, very intelligent as always, and appreciate your bringing us to that, those discussion points this morning. Let's talk about the first one of those, very important, the right to travel. I don't have the exact years, but I can go back and pull out a couple of cases from the late 19th century in which the United States Supreme Court said that there is a constitutional right to travel. And now this implicates a lot of things we talked about even the first hour. The word travel does not appear explicitly in the United States Constitution. It's not there. Just like the word privacy is not there, just like the word abortion is not there, all these things that the majority of the Supreme Court today seem to be relying on to strip away this fundamental right. And so the Supreme Court, and this is still good law to this day, has said that each and every one of us has a right to travel. And yes, it's premised upon Commerce Clause and interstate movement, all those kinds of good things, Joe, that you just identified. That right is inviolate. It's not there, but it's also a part of the penumbra, maybe the Ninth Amendment, maybe the 14th Amendment, other premises inside the Constitution to say you've got a right to travel. And so, Joe, to your very good question, we do have legislatures out there that even this morning, yesterday, and the days ahead are going to say, even if you are a resident of fill in the blank of your state, and you leave that state to get an abortion in a neighboring state where it is, in fact, illegal, you're violating the laws of your home state. The question is that kind of restriction on your travel constitutional? I would say, and I think an awful lot of people would say, absolutely not. Not to say that legislatures will not try to impose that kind of legislation, but their view that somehow you can restrict travel has got to be completely contrary, as you just indicated, Joe, to this fundamental right to travel. And we were seeing that, I suspect, exercised even this morning, yesterday afternoon, throughout the weekend and the days ahead, as women exercise that right to travel to places where abortion is still legal, where you can still have access to reproductive rights. That's got to be held inviolate. And so exactly right on point, important issue, the right to travel is as right to as inviolate as I would say the right to privacy is. And again, even though it's been taken a big hit yesterday, I would certainly like to think that in the America that we live in, all those other penumbered rights to privacy and other predicates for reaching that privacy, those privacy interests, those still exist, notwithstanding Justice Thomas. As to your other very good point, take a look at the dissent from Justice Breyer, and obviously joined in by Justice Kagan and Justice Sotomayor. Joe, that's exactly the kind of thing that they're describing. Talking about autonomy, talking about all these issues, not perhaps invoking the specific examples that you've invoked about organ donation or compelling someone to give up a kidney or another organ, but the spirit, the content of what you just articulated is precisely the example that the dissenting justice voices articulate in saying the majority has got to be wrong. Think about all these other areas in medical care, in medical treatment, where we would never even think, we never even think of imposing governmental restrictions upon the decision of an individual. Women, men, frankly, and the supervision of parents and other guardians, young people, boys and girls, medical decisions of all sorts that go to your autonomy, your bodily function, your bodily integrity. We would not even think of going to our major medical institutions, our research institutions, and saying, you know what, government is going to come in and tell you exactly what you can and cannot do. Those discretionary decisions have got to be made by individuals. And so, Joe, to put it very pointedly, what's the difference? What is the difference between that and what we're doing here? I would offer, and again, the dissenting justices bring this point home, there should be none. There should be no difference between those two things. And it is the argument that I would offer should be made now to those state legislatures that are considering changes in one direction or another in the wake of Dobbs. It should be the argument that we advance to our federal Congress, our House of Representatives, our Senate, in which we say once again, decisions about health care, decisions about your body, the most private thing you can possibly do, secondary to your home, right? Decisions you make that have to do with your family, your interpersonal relations, all those kinds of things, those have got to be held inviolate. And that has been the increasing arc of history throughout our American history as we go forward. So, Joe, appreciate the comment very, very much. And look forward to other questions and comments by other listeners at 844-967-2789. As we come back, we'll finish up this discussion and move on to the other major case of the United States Supreme Court this past week, Bruin, having to do with firearms in America at the Shaw, WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM. It all could be different.